across the world first, and then we'll come back to this conversation because it's an important one. Good morning, Adam Gilchrist. How are you? What is the world view?
Good morning. Unbelievably well. I think the world view is probably slightly less than that, but I'm unbelievably well, at least. Thank you.
Good to hear that. Talk to us about you guys welcomed US President Donald Trump, amongst others, for the NATO summit there in London.
Yeah, you can probably hear him from there, can't you? Donald Trump is in town. Actually, a friend of mine was just explaining how he tried to drive home from work and got basically diverted all the way around central London into terrible traffic jams because Donald Trump was sleeping at the US ambassador's residence. So therefore, all the roads have to be closed, obviously. But apart from my friend's traffic woes, he's in town to try and sort NATO out. And actually, isn't it weird that Donald Trump is probably the least contentious of certainly some of the leaders at NATO. Number one, they've downgraded it from a summit because they can't agree on lots of things. But number two, people are very upset about Turkey, NATO member, and its incursions into Syria and the fact that it's bought Russian defence hardware. People are very upset about France and the comments by Emmanuel Macron about NATO being brain dead was his comment, and he has not rowed back from that. And people are very upset about Germany still refusing to pay percent of national income into the defence budget, which is one of those things that all NATO nations are meant to do, and only I think it's six actually do.
Sure.
So Donald Trump might have a few things to say about all of those, but the fact is they gather today at a downgraded meeting of the 29 leaders after a full royal affair last night, a royal banquet at Buckingham Palace. I wonder, what was in the soup? Will they all be chatting amicably?
I'm sure that they've learned how to be tense amongst one another. This has been an interesting presidency, both for Macron and Trump. Anyway, we're going to miss Angela Merkel
like
when she steps down.
They've learned how to be tense with each other. Yes. In other words, they'll put up with each other's nonsenses, maybe a little bit.
Like family, you know, Christmas dinners with different political
views. Families at Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a member of our family, Poland.
This is interesting. Just that they have finally got back their gold reserves. Essentially, this is gold that was hidden from the Nazis in Britain during the Second World War. At the outbreak of the Second World War, and it was pretty swift, remember, that whole incursion and then ultimately invasion of Poland. But they managed to get their gold out and took it a very circuitous route. In fact, I think they went through the Middle East and through Africa. Anyway, it ended up in London. And here we are, all these years later, and finally they've got their gold back. Now, it's not that Poland hasn't had its gold, it's just physically it hasn't had its gold.
Right.
So does it matter where your bank account is, etc.? So they've had their gold bars in London, but a new nationalist government, and this is the sign of times, they're sort of pulling in their apron strings a little bit and tidying things up, and they want the gold on their own patch. But the operation to return the gold bars, 8,000 gold bars worth about $5 billion, give or take, has only just been completed. It took 8 flights, 1,000 gold bars each time, all done very secretively with special decoys and so forth, because this is an enormous haul. I mean, this is a diehard kind of haul of Dosh, isn't it? It's now been completed. The gold is in Warsaw, and I suppose at least it's a weight off a few people's minds in the UK. We don't have to look after that anymore.
Well, I guess. I know South Africa's gold reserves sit in various sort of G7 countries as well. It would be a long flight. I mean, as you said, 8 different flights. I was like, this is definitely overweight luggage, 8,000 tons. That's a lot. Anyways.
Even one. Yes.
Exactly. Okay, please talk to us about Japan's most annoying man. This is curious to me.
Bless him. I have to say that that's the name I've given him. I haven't seen anyone else yet say that, but I make your own mind up here. I think he's probably one of the world's most annoying people. He's actually been arrested for making complaint calls to his phone operator. Haven't we all been there a little bit about our mobile phone operators? Anyway, this guy, Akitoshi Okamoto, has essentially spent 2.5 years constantly dialing up his phone company, in some cases dialing up his phone company, and he gets through and he hangs up on them. He's just so irate. In other cases, he harasses the firm, and he has also been onto the police complaining about the phone company. Anyway, he has made a total of 24,000 complaint calls in those 2.5 years. So every day,
it's the same
for two
company.
And a half years, He's made something, yes, he's made something like 30 phone calls a day to this one mobile phone company called KDDI in Japan. And now he's been arrested basically for being a right nuisance.
All right, something to bear in mind for those of us who are very quick to complain. Imagine that.
Yeah.
All righty, well, that's very fascinating.
You can go too far.
Exactly. Adam, we won't go too far today. We can't wait to talk to you again tomorrow on The Worldview. That's Adam Gilchrist with The Worldview.
Thank you.
And